We're so glad you've chosen to listen in today, and as I said, we, because Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries is joining us in the studio, as I have lots of questions for him. And for those who haven't been following our series on enduring through the end times on Saturdays on KPDQ AM at 10:30, we're going to step back today and simply seek to ask questions about Bible prophecy, much of which is being fulfilled today, by the way. And as just a little bit of an insider information, Dr. John and I have quite the relationship, as he was a professor at Oregon College of Ministry when I was a student there, and he was always asking pop quiz questions. But today, it's my turn.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I heard that. So let's open first, though, with a word of God. And I've selected John 16, beginning in verse 22. And Jesus had been speaking to his disciples about his going to the Father, and they were experiencing not only confusion, but the grief of losing the Lord. Verse 22 says, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." And he closes with this promise in verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Well, let me introduce you to Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries, and this ministry speaks to the eschatological end times as written in the Bible. And we've covered quite a few topics about enduring the end times, from themes to seasons to the wave concept of what is to come to addressing false teachings, always and ever, with the purpose of bringing glory to his worthy name, especially speaking to the truth, faithfulness, and accuracy of his precious word. Okay, John, it's my turn to ask some questions of you, as opposed to you always asking us as the teacher. And I'm so excited. I finally have the upper hand. So, okay, we're going to get going. We're going to get more serious, pressing, you know, the applicable part of our broadcast today.
Okay.
Given the scope of ministry here at Heart of the Savior Ministries, let's begin with this question. How do end time concerns play into matters pertaining to the Heart of the Savior Ministry appeals? And maybe I can be a little bit more pointed. Do concerns coming from our Savior's heart actually even go there? That is, venture into the topic of end times.
Great question, and yes, they do, Leslie. Our Lord Jesus knew about the days prior to his return. He taught his followers on the topic due to all the harm's way stuff that takes place during this time. See, he loves his sheep, and he loves us such that he seeks to protect us against apostasy, that is, against falling away during the days prior to his initial appearing. These warnings flow out of our Savior's heart because he cares deeply for his sheep who live in the end of days. See, he wants us to endure through these days of the end before he gathers us up prior to the pouring out of his wrath upon the earth dwellers who have persecuted God's saints during the time of tribulation by the Antichrist prompting. Our Lord outlines this time of tribulation in Matthew 24, verses 9 through 22.
Well, John, people can hear a more in-depth discussion because we did this on Matthew 24 back on February 14th of 2015. So if they want to go to Heart of the Savior Ministries website, click on the broadcast tab, they can select the February 14th, 2015 program that spoke specifically to this Matthew passage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that scripture ends with, "If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." So this leads me to my next question.
Okay.
Why? Why is it you bring endurance appeals these days?
Our heart that springs forth into these appeals is important. The why.
The why.
Yeah. Well, I do so because, number one, the scriptures frequently appeal for endurance during these days. Number two, because our Lord Jesus himself repeated time and time again the call to watch, to be discerning during these days of great deception and persecution. And I do so because, number three, these mandates come as a result of our Savior's loving care for us. For the consequence of apostasy is of eternal significance.
Well, and you've chosen to emphasize end-time Bible themes for this next decade, from 2016 to 2025. How come?
Well, it's pertaining to the issue of the themes for sure. Because, number one, in answer to your question, chronological end time appeals alone seem to generate more friction between folks, especially by those who are dogmatic in the view they hold.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, number two, thematic appeals are not only less divisive, but they often speak to things unfolding in present culture, and it's kind of hard to deny the facts taking place in global society today.
This is true. Just read the paper, listen to the news.
That's right, that's right. This is where the emphasis of Bible themes comes into play. The Bible clearly highlights end-time themes, including apostasy. And let me be clear, apostasia does not mean the rapture departure, as one told us recently. It is the Greek word apostasy, meaning falling away.
Falling away.
It's one of the themes. Another theme is persecution. Another theme is perilous times will come, etc. Well, these things, which take place before Christ's return, are unfolding today.
Well, one of the recurring themes in the end times Bible literature speaks to false teaching being rampant in the days of the end. Could you speak to this?
False teaching is actually one of the many signs our Lord states will take place before his return. And let me repeat for emphasis' sake, many signs precede his initial appearing in the sky. This is in accord with Mark 13. One of the contributors to falling away is, Leslie, false teaching. Some folks who falsely and they teach falsely, but they contribute to the falling away of some who fail to then go on to evaluate what they're teaching, what they're hearing, from a biblical perspective. So we have the false teachers teaching, we have those who listen, and depending upon what they do in response, we're encouraging them to go back to the Bible to test all things. Well, in light of this biblical fact of false teaching coming present today, our loving Savior has given clear warning against false teaching, even specifically identifying some of it. Other false teachings are not explicitly named in his teachings, but they're present and thriving today. False teachings which are in conflict with God's authoritative standard of truth, his word. These false teachings undermine our Lord's protective counsel. Counsel which exposes the dangers of false perspective based on false teaching. So, Leslie, false teaching is a crucial topic today.
Well, you know, John, I'm a doubting Thomas, and I want to know that I know that I know, if you get my drift. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be fooled, nor do I want to be accused of fooling anyone else. And I'm seeing false teachings rampant. One that quickly comes to mind is a well-known pastor recently told his flock that they could take the mark of the beast and still be saved, and that's directly opposite of the Word of God in Revelation 14, 9 through 12. And so tied to my last question, why are you especially hard on the top three end-time views with many churches today?
Churches do hold some false teachings in light of the biblical standard. Well, I'm willing to confront these false teachings on the basis or authority of God's word because, once again, the ramifications of preterism, of pre-trib rapturism, and the pan-trib, pan-mill perspectives, they are in direct conflict with our Lord's teachings, which he so graciously gave us, whereby we have the means to avoid becoming deceived. Pretty important.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, you state it this way. If we neglect the passages God has graciously given us for the purpose of better discerning the many false teachings currently being propagated today, will we not be making a conscious choice toward casting aside one crucial means he has provided to help us avoid being deceived?
Yes, yes. Important. And these three positions, and perhaps I should define them. Preterism is the view that many end-time passages have already taken place in the early church. Pre-trib rapture is a position that the church will miss these signs due to the rapture taking place prior to the signs. And the pan-trib and the pan-mill is a perspective that we need not concern ourselves with end-time things because it's all going to pan out in the end. So we know who wins in the end, so that we should leave it at that attitude. Well, these are dangerous appeals. Well, these three positions, which I've just defined, are incorrect in light of God's authoritative word. If the word of God doesn't teach these views, yes, even teaches to the contrary, why should we believe them?
I'm glad you explained that to our listening audience, the differences between those, because I think that's really important. And that's a pretty fair appeal, John. These three views incorporate end times chronology in their teaching, right?
Correct.
All right. So here's my next question. Mm-hmm. Why is prophetic chronology pertinent to end times study?
Okay, it's a repetition, but back to the word, because the scriptures teach a specific unfolding events, of a chronology, if you would, events which take place in progression. If we would but read Matthew 24, these three views would be exposed as false, views which foster a perspective in direct opposition to our Lord's mandate to his sheep, end time sheep. Quote, Jesus speaking here, "What I say to you all, what I say to you, I say to all, watch." And that's found in the closing verse of Mark 13. Preterism undermines preparedness. Why? Because they teach these end time passages were fulfilled in the early church, and we don't have to bear ourselves with concern of direct application of these. Pre-tribulational rapture dogma undermines watchfulness. Why? Because we're going to be raptured prior to these things. We don't have to be discerning the times. And number three, it'll all pan out in the end. Therefore, we don't need to concern ourselves with Bible prophecy perspective. This promotes disobedience. Why? Because it belittles some important passages, which Jesus says to take note of. And Leslie, this false teaching on the part of these three positions, that is, ill-preparedness, is done in part through chronological appeal. Each of these popular views within many churches includes teaching regarding progression of the end of days, which unfolds prior to our Lord's initial appearing. Concerning how end time views, all views including my own, concerning how they affect life actions, can I say this, please? These views, including the one I hold in light of Bible truth, influence how we live. Specific example. The pre-trib folks, if consistent with their view, don't prepare eschatologically because according to the teaching of the pre-trib position, the rapture happens without signs. Many teach the rapture happens before the signs. Well, according to them, the rapture takes place prior to the end-time signs given by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. Thus, they teach the familiar tenet, quote, "The rapture is the next event on the prophetic calendar," unquote. Well, in light of this pre-trib teaching, the signs, which Leslie, our Lord, taught would precede his return, these signs are not crucial in the eyes of the pre-tribulationists because the rapture, many say, precede the signs. Well, this is false teaching, which is dangerous and which fosters an attitude in direct opposition to our Lord's mandate that we are ready, watchful, during the days prior to his coming. We live differently in accord with the view we hold.
But that raises a huge question, John, and it's this. How do we tell which view is the right one?
Excellent question, and let me say it this way. We must go back to the Word of God and let it say what it actually says, as opposed to accepting interpretations of the Word, ones which are actually not biblical. That's why I say if we would but read his word at face value, some of the popular end-time positions would be marked as incorrect.
So tied to that last question, are there interpretation issues that we must consider as we observe the data we find in our Savior's revelation to us?
Absolutely.
As we look into this very fascinating contemporary topic of end times, so applicable to us today,
yes,
don't we have to consider hermeneutical matters too?
Yes, again, absolutely. And what's the number one principle of interpretation that we apply once we've observed the text?
I know. It's to affirm that which is actually written, not to add to or take away the facts of the word. We are to submit to that which is written, not to opinions of men as to what the word may mean.
Beautiful.
I get an A.
Because some of the interpretations actually deny the actual literal message of the word.
Yeah.
And so there's a yellow light that should go off. Well, and that's not our authority. Our authority is the word of God, not interpretations of the word of God.
So in light of your approach toward seeking to rightly divide the word of truth, namely allowing the word to say what it actually says, would you say the final trumpet rapture gathering position of Endurance Ministries is true?
This is another test question.
I know.
Is it one of entrapment, Leslie, though?
No. I would never do that.
I know.
We tell the truth that matters.
We tell the truth that matters. We believe it's true in light of the capital T truths in Scripture. Well, let me distinguish between dogma, and when I say dogma, I'm meaning positive Bible teaching here.
Right.
Bible data. Let me distinguish between that and versus a Bible-affirming proposal, which is less certain but biblically evidenced, and it's less certain because there are interpretive steps taken, and that's a confession. In fact, all end-time views have interpretive steps. See, here's an example of what I mean. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52 say this, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, this passage is capital T truth. In other words, this is correct, and this is sound dogma, capital T truth, what I just read. Well, we need to take a next step, though. Each of us needs to ask a very valid question at this juncture. And the answer brings us to a variety of interpretations of the passage. Here's what I mean. Each end-time passage has an interpretation as to the meaning of, quote, last trump or final trumpet, unquote. What we need to do at this place in the inquiry of getting at the meaning of the text is to ask this. Which interpretation is best? So we consider the various interpretations. We believe the meaning of the last trump is tied to the only series of end-time trumpet blasts in the entire Word of God, the trumpets of Revelation. The pre-trib folks, on the contrary, they have a completely different definition of, quote, the last trump. Well, the point I'm trying to make here is this. We all take less than certain steps of interpreting His Word. And this brings us to an end-time position that we need to not herald as dogma, capital T truth, because there are interpretive steps taken. It's a position that we propose. That's our approach anyway. And one can find our chronological proposal for prayerful and exegetical consideration posted online at frequently asked question number 60 on our endmin.com website. And we're encouraging you to do the Berean study on this. Check out to see if what we're proposing in this presentation is indeed in alignment with the explicit Word of God.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, it just seems to amaze me how time flies when we're having fun. Of course, I've had great fun because I've been the question person.
You have. But you've been pretty light on me.
I know. Just wait. Just wait.
For the next session.
For the next session, right. But our time is just about up, and I'd like us to wrap up in a way that we'll be able to continue with this insightful question-answer series, because I still get to ask more questions.
Okay.
For next month's broadcast.
Right.
Okay.
So more heavier questions,
yes.
Tougher questions.
So you're a teacher.
Trick question.
Trick questions. Oh, dear. Could you give us an assignment in response to today's broadcast and in preparation for our next session together? You know, an assignment that honors the heart of our Savior?
Thank you. I'd like to do that. I'd encourage the listening audience to simply observe carefully Matthew 24, verses 1 through 31. In response to this session and in preparation for our broadcast in October, especially noting that it's a chronological appeal that our Lord is making. Simply observe the actual chronological data in this passage of Scripture. If you would like help in doing so, just a little bit of an outline that's very faithful to what the text teaches, please print out a Bible study sheet on this passage. Visit, again, endmin.com, endmin.com, and in this case, go to frequently asked question number 26, where this Bible study sheet can be found. Click the, quote, this link, unquote, in order to go to pages 4 through 6, where the insightful worksheet is posted. It'll help. And by the way, frequently asked question number 51 on the third page of our frequently asked questions also states why many end-time Bible chronology charts are in error based upon our Lord's instruction in this crucial end-time passage. Pretty important stuff, Leslie.
It is. Okay, so Just to repeat that, everybody, get your Bibles out or print out off the computer Matthew 24:1-31. Read through it several times because you're going to need it. Plus, go to endmin.com, pick up Facts 26, click on the link. Takes you to 4-6 where the study sheet is.
Right.
And that will really help a lot.
Right. And yeah, it's an important observational appeal. And it's neat to know that because of the chronological indicators in this passage, it's clear that Jesus is addressing chronology. It's sweet, though, how he gives parabolic clarification in the following verses, verses 32 through the rest of his sermon in this chapter and in chapter 25. So it's helpful because he's giving not only chronological appeals, but he's also stating themes within these events that are so important for his church to be attentive to. It's sweet. And I say his church because this passage is dealing with God's people prior to the elect, the saints, prior to his return.
Okay, so people can also get a copy of your book, The Final Trumpet Gathering, an introduction, or get additional resources regarding Endurance Ministries by going to your website.
Correct.
So that's www.endmin.com.
That's one of the many, right?
And can't they go to Truth Foundations?
Truthfoundations.com is an important one because it states the basis of our end time appeals. It's actually the unadulterated Word of God that we're seeking to highlight as opposed to an end time chronology that is filled with speculation. No. What does the Word of God say?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can
helpful.
Always get that from you. I know that one.
Well, and we ask people to test us to make sure that we continue to herald those important things. It's the Word of God that's got to be our foundation. In fact, if you want a website that talks about this theme of epistemology, how do we know what we know, we'd encourage you as a believer to encourage your non-Christian friends to go to truthmatters.com because on that site, the principle, it's a philosophical principle of how do we know what we know, is stated there without a lot of the Bible initially. And then we go on to ask some important questions. Well, what about history and this person called Jesus Christ? So we open the door to a fair inquiry based upon foundational truths and what we rely on. So it's an important website, too, for people to consider.
Well, John, once again, thank you for coming in and sharing with us. And we look forward to our time together on Thursday, October 6th at 2 p.m. right here on KPDQ FM.
Where you're going to ask more tough questions.
More tough questions. Or on Saturday, October 10th at 10:30 a.m. on KPDQ AM to continue our discussion and my questions.
Thank you, Liz.
Sorry. Of his loving protection of his saints, as it ties into the end times. And that's what I titled this. So this was part one of that. We're going to do part two again, October 6th and October 10th.
Beautiful.
So thank you for coming back in to do that. And I do have a quick announcement reminder that Women of Purpose International is celebrating its 23rd year of reconciliation, restoration, and renewal in the body of Christ by holding the United in Love Conference at Tigard Covenant Church on Southwest Nave Street. That's October 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And a special African art show will be held on Friday, October 7th from 10 to 6. And again, that art will also be available during the conference on Saturday. Come and enjoy a full day of prayer and workshop presentations. And you can get more information and register by going to their website at womenofpurpose.com. And it's because of our listening audience that we're able to be on the air bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ, the truth that matters. And so won't you consider being a monthly supporter or a corporate sponsor? John, thanks for joining us once again. And for those listening, we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's Word the every breath that you take this week. As always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest and friend, John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.